You need to open your Bibles to 3 John 2. 3 John 2. Everything going good there, Andrew? Good. 3 John 2. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what we're teaching. And let me just say this to you, that as faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing, that you are going to get this. Because I've got more Word. Amen? We've got Word. And this Word that we've been hearing from 3 John chapter 2 is a powerful Word. This Word is a powerful Word. Because it tells us what God desires, what He wills, what He believes about you. What He wants to do. And so it reads like this. Let's read it out loud together. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things... I don't hear you. I only hear me. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Somebody said, yeah, but the most important thing is soul prosperity. Well, I'm not going to argue that it's an important thing. Is it important to prosper in the soul? Yes. It's important, but is it the most important thing when God says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as? They all go together, don't they? The Hebrew concept of prosperity is the whole man. Say the whole man. The whole man. What is the whole man? Spirit, soul, and body. Listen to people in the world talking about that. Many people in the church say body, soul, and spirit. And you might say, well, it doesn't really make any difference which way we say it, does it? I believe it does. The Bible says spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is the essence of you. It's who you are. The soul of you is your mind, will, and emotions given to you to serve the spirit and to communicate with the world. Do you ever think about that? If you were just spirit, you couldn't communicate with the world. But because you have a soul, you have the ability to communicate. And the body is the actual mechanical means of communicating and making contact with the world. Charles Capps, who wrote the book Faith and Confession, has a unique name for the body. He calls it the earth suit. The earth suit. It's the suit that we wear here on this earth. It's so we can touch one another. How does God want you to prosper? Every way He made you. That's what He's saying here. That's above all things what I want. I want your prosperity. What does it mean to prosper? To advance. To move ahead. To flourish. Well, but don't you know, Pastor, that some people are just born to be poor? I don't believe that any more than I believe people are born to be damned. You know, there was a man that said that, a great theologian. Some of you might be surprised to know who he was. Calvin, God's horrible decree is that some men were born to be damned. But you see, my Bible says, you know, John Calvin may have been a great man, but my Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance, who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's two scriptures that says God wants everyone saved. Now let me ask you a question. Is everyone saved? No. No. Is it because it's not God's will? No. We know it's God's will for all to be saved. So, some men are poor. Is it God's will? Is He mad at him about it? No. But it's not His will. Some men are sick. Is it God's will? No. Is He mad at him about it? No. But it's not His will. He's made provision for every area of life. Jeff just read it. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What pertains unto life and godliness? Used to be a surplus store over in Longmont. And the surplus store had a sign on the outside. And if you went inside this surplus store, you might have believed it. It said, if we don't have it, you don't need it. I mean, this surplus store was full of stuff. And if we don't have it, you don't need it. I want to tell you, if it doesn't pertain unto life and godliness, you don't want it. Because everything that doesn't pertain unto life and godliness comes from the thief who steals, kills, and destroys. And you don't want anything to do with this stuff, do you? So God has prosperity. Spirit, soul, and body. It's His will. It's His will. Where does it begin? You're going to become prosperous. I got $6 to my name. Now I've got more than that. I'm telling a little story. $6, all I got to my name. That's all I got. How could I become prosperous with $6? Is it possible? One of the little girls here today says, told me I've got $13. That's a start of prosperity. It's a seed. It's a seed. Where does it start? If God could trust you with $1.50, could He trust you with $3? If He could trust you with $3, could He trust you with $6? If He could trust you with $6, could He trust you with $12? Do you see where I'm going? If He can trust you with $12, can He trust you with $24? With $48? With $96? Somebody's going to have to start helping me pretty quick. $192? You understand what I'm saying? How this will go on? And I believe God will double as we show ourselves faithful. Are you ready to be prosperous? Would you be able to stay away from corruption with full prosperity if you were rich? It's easy to say. But you know what? As toy-minded as we are, I wonder how many of us would just forget about God and just do toys. You watch our lake every afternoon in the summer, and our snow every weekend in the winter. And I can tell you that many people are substituting play for worship. And is there a danger that if we became independently wealthy? And listen, I'm going to tell you today, I believe that it very well may be God's will for some of you to be independently wealthy. In fact, I believe that it would be His will that all of you would be independently wealthy. But what would happen? What would happen? Would you build, as Keith and Tammy do, would you build God's house first? Boy, you guys could be an illustration of Haggai. Haggai says there's a problem. Some people build their house, but they don't build my house. I've watched people build houses. How many of you have ever watched somebody build a house in the church that when they started, you all prayed and you all got together and you believed it for them and stuff like that, and then you didn't see them again until the house was built? You know, the Bible really has a lot to say. And you know, the Bible says that there are some people that get a lot of money, but they put it in sacks with holes in it. Have you ever felt that way? They carry it in sacks with holes in it. That's in Haggai 2. Well, I don't know if it's 2 or 3. Or also. It's in Haggai. Read Haggai sometime. See what he has to say. God wants to prosper His people. Where does it begin? It begins on the inside. That's what the Scripture says here. If you read that, that's just as simple as it can be. I wish that you'd prosper. I desire that you'd prosper. Above everything, I wish you'd prosper and be in health as it is on the inside. In your soul. In your thinking. In your understanding. How many of you know who, if I said the name Mike Phelps, would any of you know who that is? Any of you know Mike Phelps? You know him? You see, how many of you have ever swum competitively? I just barely could swim. So competitive is not my, you know, the competing for me was to get to the side before I drowned, you know. That's the way it used to be. Michael Phelps just recently won 8 gold medals in the Olympics, surpassing Mark Spitz, who in 1972 won 7 gold medals. When I thought this was pretty interesting. When Mike won the seventh medal, Mark was asked to comment, Mark Spitz. Of course, you know he's got gray hair now. Did any of you hear what he said? You hear that? That was a really powerful statement. He said, Mike won that race in his brain, and his body had to follow. Now, that sounds like mind over matter or something like that, but let me tell you, it's not. That's biblical. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you can get this down and begin to understand that your thinking is the thing that defeats you or puts you over the top. And that's why you need to say things. Say, I can't go down for going over. Amen? I can't lose for winning. How many of you have ever heard the other side of that one? I've heard people say for years, I can't win for losing. They think it's funny to talk like that, but it's not funny. It sets an attitude in our minds. Our minds need to be renewed. Say renewed. What renews the mind? God's Word. You get God's Word in your mind, and what happens to you will not govern your life. Instead, the Word will govern what happens to you. You'll begin to take dominion over things that have happened to you. Can you do that? Well, the Bible says you can. As a man thinks, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We need to learn to talk those things and say those things that God says. If you don't have a vision, what does the Bible say about you? Where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That would be kind of an extreme opposite of prosperity, wouldn't it? Perishing. But where there's a vision, where there's a hope, where you begin to think and you say things. We talked about Joseph last week. What did Joseph say? Joseph said, I've got a dream. Sound like somebody else, doesn't it? He said, I've got a dream. And I saw that we were all out in the field and we were cutting the wheat and we were putting it in shocks. How many of you have ever put grain in shocks? You ever do that? We used to tie it in bundles and put it in shocks. Bring it around to thresher later and thresh it. I didn't do a lot of that, praise God. That's hard work. But he said, I had all these shocks set up. And my brothers had these shocks set up. And my brother's shocks bowed down to my shocks. I had a dream. Somebody says, oh, you smart aleck punk. Wet behind the ears, you can't even... You know, here you go around telling us things like that. He even got his dad upset because he told his dad about the sun, moon, and the stars bowing down to worship him. His dad said, shh. Don't talk like that. Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret. I believe Joseph's mouth got ahead of his dream. That's what I believe. Some people don't, but I believe he did. I believe his mouth got ahead of his dreaming. I believe he was supposed to ponder in his heart a while longer. Speak those things between he and God. How many of you know some things that the Bible calls casting pearls before swine? What's a swine? One that squeals when he hears the truth. You're going to hear a lot of... Listen to me now. If you catch hold of this, what I'm teaching you, and you begin to talk it, and you begin to walk it, you're going to get some criticism. The world doesn't believe that believers should prosper. Senator Grassley has just recently launched an investigation against churches because he feels like they're making too much money. They want separation of church and state until they don't want it. Have you ever noticed that? They tell me, the IRS tells me that we could lose our IRS exemption for saying things from the pulpit that they don't approve of. For instance, they think that they could take away our tax exempt status in this church if I were to tell you that I'm going to vote for John McCain from the pulpit. You notice I got away from the pulpit.
There you go.
Is that right? How many of you know that during the founding of this country, much was spoken from the pulpit of a political nature? Because the politics and the Bible are not separate. They are trying to say that if I say a word against homosexuality, I could lose our tax-exempt status. They're trying to tell you that if I make a stand for pro-life and against abortion, that we could lose our tax-exempt status. Well, let me tell you, if we lose our tax-exempt status, we will continue to say the same thing. Are you too? See, this is the lies that are going on in the world today. We need to speak the truth in love. In love. Speak the truth. Prosperity is not popular if you're a believer. People start looking at you. I know a preacher. He started out dirt poor. Dirt poor. But God has shown him the truth of this. He now has some nice things. He has a nice church. They've never had to beg for money in that church. We don't want to beg for money in this church, and we never will have to. But you know what? He said even his own relatives didn't want to see him after the Lord began to prosper him because they thought he was another crooked preacher. Now, where do you suppose that spin comes from? Where does that spin come from? Is it truth? Well, sure, there have been some people that have been over the top. But that's not what God's doing. God wants to prosper His people and have them not become corrupt. Amen? One of these days, some of these people that have criticized wealthy preachers are going to stand before God, along with the rest of us. And I've got a feeling that when we see the rewards handed out, those that have taken their talents and increased them, just like Jesus said, they're going to get bigger rewards. Are you listening?
I have a question.
Yes.
So, prosperity, we still have to work in the kingdom. It gives us one talent, we got to work hard,
right?
It makes 10.
Right.
So, is prosperity like a reward for our labors?
Yeah. I think there's a certain part of it that is. There may be an element to it that would go, we could say, you know, not entirely. But I think it's an expectation. An expectation. But interestingly enough, the man that took his talents and made another 5 talents, it was not through what we think of as work. It was through investment. How many of you know Jewish people know what to do with money? I'm not saying there's not some poor Jews, but, you know, Jewish people know what to do. Where did they get that knowledge? Huh? That's right. Yahweh gave it to them. Right through the Torah. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. And you know, that's one thing you don't hear from Jews too much. You don't hear them criticizing prosperity. How many of you know that that was one of the big things that Hitler hated about them? They always had money. They'd go into a place and they would put all kinds of rules and regulations against them. And still they were the ones that had money to lend. And they'd lend money. And because they became money lenders, you know, everybody was into them. So what's the way to get out of debt if you're an ungodly person? Just annihilate them. We won't owe them anything after they're dead. Right? These people own great wealth and art, jewels. German government just took it away from them. Confiscated it. You say it couldn't happen now? Did somebody say it couldn't happen now? I want to tell you that the kingdom of God, the Besorah, the gospel, the good news is free. Hallelujah. But you try to take it from here to China and tell me it's free. You try to get it from here to the Philippines and tell me it's free. You try to get it from here to Kansas City and tell me it's free. No, it takes prosperity. God wants His people to prosper. What kind of God did Abraham know? What kind of God did Isaac know? What kind of God did Jacob know? He knew a God that blessed. A God that protected. A God that was faithful. A God that was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to His power that works in us. They knew a God like that, didn't they? They knew about Him. They knew about God who was made them very rich. Oh, I want you to see that our forefathers in the faith were wealthy men. They were not just getting along. Now, it's true that some of them had some starts to get there. Jacob went away with a stick and a backpack, right? Came back with two companies. And when we say companies today, we think of what? Business ventures. Well, in essence, that's what he had. Two major business ventures. Cattle. Herds. And all of these guys that are our example in the faith did it without owning great amounts of land. They only had a promise of the land. And so we hear on this earth today, you know, you may have a deed on your house or a title deed. What do they call that other kind of deed that's going on? A warranty deed. You may have something like that, but you know, let's get it down. We don't have to own it to produce from it, do we? We don't have to have a deed. We've got the deed in our heart. And these men got wealthy, very, very rich. Very rich. What kind of life did Jacob have when he was, or Joseph have when he was growing up? Rich daddy. Rich daddy. In fact, he was so rich, he had to travel to other counties to go see all the cattle and the resources that his dad had to check them out. And his dad had actually given him a place of stewardship underneath him. That's what that coat represented. That coat represents authority and anointing, the blessing. We talked about the blessing. The devil wanted to get the blessing, but Jacob had a dream. And wherever Jacob went, he walked proudly because his daddy had blessed him. Right? How do we walk? We need to walk like our daddy's blessed us. Has Abba blessed you? He's blessed me. He's blessed me. His brothers didn't like it. They sold him into slavery. Jacob goes in, has his coat stripped off of him. But he goes to Potiphar's house. Potiphar takes a look at him and he saw that he was a good man, a good-looking young man. He saw that he was someone that had the blessing of Yahweh on him, is what the Scripture says. Did you know that? And he put him in charge of his whole house. Now, you know, it doesn't say he gave him a coat, but he got his coat back, didn't he? He had his authority back. And we talked about it last week, that when Joseph went out, and he went out with other servants, because he was the head over all the household, he'd go out with the other servants, and he'd send one over here to buy this, and another one over here to pick up those provisions. But Joseph didn't look like a slave, did he? Why? Prosperity was inside him. Wasn't it? It was in his mind. Well, the devil didn't like it. So the devil sent a woman. A cheating woman. A lying woman. Took his coat away. Put him into prison. We haven't seen jails like this in our country. There's a dungeon. There's a pit. I think he had to work hard to find a dry place to sleep in the pit. I think he had to move refuse out of the way and waste out of the way to find a place that he could sit down. But Joseph went in and he was up to the task, because even in the prison he had prosperity on the inside, didn't he? What happened to him? Well, he was learning stewardship under Potiphar. And then he goes to prison and he becomes the head trustee. He learned stewardship there, doesn't he? Is he learning? I believe he's learning. I believe that prison ran better than any prison in the world by the time Joseph had been there a while. And he was there for a while. They put everything under his hand in the prison. The baker and the butler came to prison. And the baker and the butler had each offended Pharaoh somehow. And they're sitting in prison. They've been there for a while. And one morning, Joseph comes to where they are and sees them, and they're both sitting there with really sad looks on their face. And he said, "Why the long face, boys?" And they said, "We had a dream. We dreamed some dreams." And you know the story. Joseph said, "Tell them to me." Tell him the dreams. And Joseph said, "Well," to the butler, he says, "This means that you're going back and going to be restored to your position." To the baker, he says, "This means you're going to be hanged in 3 days." Sure enough, 3 days' time, the baker gets hanged and the butler gets released and restored to his position. As he's going out the door, Joseph says, "Oh, by the way, don't forget me. I've got a dream. Don't forget me. I got riches on the inside. Don't forget me." But what'd the butler do? Same thing some of your friends will do to you. Same things that some of the people you've helped will do to you. And you don't want to get dismayed about it, because that could have been the turning point. He could have said, "Look, I went to sold into slavery and I kept it together. I got thrown into prison and I kept it together. And now I help this guy. He gets out. I'm still here." How many of you know that's what a lot of Christians do? They start looking around them and seeing somebody else getting blessed and they get bitter. Are you listening to me? But he stays there and he's faithful. Say faithful. Did he work? Yes, he knew how to work. He knew how to do what needed to be done. But mainly, he knew how to take little and make something of it. Didn't he? One day Pharaoh dreams a dream. Pharaoh's such a dreamer, he dreams this wild dream about cows that eat and eat and eat and can't get fat. 7 fat ones, 7 skinny ones. He dreams 2 dreams. And if I remember it right, he calls the magicians in and says, "First of all, tell me what I dreamed." I may have the story just a little wrong in this place, but that's the way I remember this story. Finally, when nobody can get it, none of his magicians, none of his sorcerers, none of his necromancers, none of them can get it, the butler sees Pharaoh all troubled and he says, "Oh, wait a second. What's his name? There's a guy in prison. Oh, what? It's right on the tip of my tongue. Joseph! Joseph's in prison, a Hebrew in prison. And Yahweh reveals dreams to him. Bring him." They bring Joseph out of prison. They gave him a fine bath. Amen. Gave him a shave and got him out of the dirty, stinking clothes. Gave him fine new clothes. He's got to go before Pharaoh. And Joseph appears before Pharaoh and tells him the story. 7 years that are going to be so good that 7 better years have never been known. And then it's going to be followed by 7 years that are going to be so bad that no one's ever seen famine like that before. Imagine if today God could speak to people like He spoke to Joseph. What do you suppose you could be today, Tammy, if you knew 14 years in advance, 14 years ago? Think about it. What could you accomplish if you knew what was going to happen on Wall Street 14 years in advance? What do you suppose you could do? Is it possible for God to do that? Is it possible for God to tell people what's coming? Did you know the Bible says simply about the Holy Spirit when He's come, the Comforter? He will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance the things that I've said. Chapter 16 of John says, He will guide you into all truth, and He will what? He will show you things to come. So is that being a fortune teller? Perish the thought. Halila. God forbid. No, it's hearing the voice of God. Having an understanding. What could you do if you knew in advance? We can. Joseph tells him, he said, you know, here's what you better do. This is what I believe the dreams indicate, and you better find you somebody that's wise and somebody that is trained in stewardship. Somebody that can hear from God. You better put them in charge. And let them store for the 7 years, that in the years of famine they'll be ready. Pharaoh says, well, I just looked for a wise man in all my kingdom, and all I found was a slave that could tell me what's going on, a prisoner. He said, who's wiser than you? Have you ever thought what happened to Joseph in just a few minutes, in one day's time? He came out of a pit. And where do you suppose he lived after that? You think he went back to jail to pick up his stuff? I don't even think so. I believe Pharaoh said, you know, there's a state mansion right down the road here, just a half mile from my place. That's where Joseph's going to live. I want you to give him the finest chariot. A Mercedes-Benz would be nice. And I want you to put the finest clothes on his back. Because this man is no longer a prisoner, but he is prime minister. Number two. Say number two. And how was he number two? Pharaoh told him, only in regard to my throne are you below me. Just title. It's just a title difference. In other words, I'm going to depend on you, Joseph. When it comes to decisions, you're going to make them. Here's my ring. This is the ring that I put my impression on when I make a decision. From now on, you can make the decisions. Now, don't answer it yet, but where did Joseph's wealth come from?
They're in the other room.
Oh my. So, she likes those keys. Joseph is in charge. He is the wealthy master of Egypt now. I mean, I can't imagine what that must have been like. I mean, it'd be something for me to go from my house to a mansion in one day. But just think of what Joseph knew. Because here's a guy that had known a good lifestyle before coming to Egypt. Sold into slavery. You know, I can hear him saying when he got to slavery, well, this is about as bad as it can get. Wrong. After he's a slave, then he has to become a prisoner, doesn't he? I wonder how many of us would have made it. But he made it. Because wealth, prosperity was on the inside. You say, well, who put that prosperity there? Well, God did. Because it's His will. It's in His Word. It's an understanding that I believe He gave to these people before Torah so that they could understand Torah. I believe there was a Torah understanding before there was a written Torah. Abraham exhibited it all the time. We'd see him exhibit Torah. So of all of the ones that had known wealth, Now Joseph knows wealth even greater. He knows it on a national scale. El Shaddai, the more than enough, the all-sufficient one. Yahweh Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, God who sees and provides. Was God providing? Yeah. Not only was He providing for Joseph, now this you need to see. He was providing for Joseph. Joseph didn't have to live in a hovel, in a shed, in a cabin. He's the prime minister of the land. Prosperity was given to Joseph. Is that all right? Well, I think it is. You know what you and I would call opulence. You and I might say, that's over the top. That's too much. He doesn't need that much. You know, people always look at things that way. Oh, he doesn't need that much. He's got enough. People do that with ministries. They say, I'm not going to give to that ministry. They've got a lot. You better listen to God and give where God tells you to give. You better not be one of these people that just looks at somebody and says, well, that preacher, he wears a nice wristwatch and wears fancy clothes. I'm not giving to him. I don't trust him. You better listen to God. You don't know how he got that stuff. I say, you don't know how he got that stuff. I say that because I've known ministers that have been given Rolex watches by people. Wealthy men have walked up to them. I know ministers that have been given $1 million by sinners into their ministry. What would you do if a sinner came up to you and said, I'd like to give $1 million into your ministry? Say, I'm sorry, I have standards. Or would you say, praise God, I believe this is seed that you're sowing. It's going to come back on you. You're not going to escape. Amen? Amen. I'd receive it. I'm not talking about bank robbery money. I'm not going to receive stolen goods. You understand that. But, you know, somebody wanted to give you something, would that be all right? Sure it would. And I've known of this happening more than one time, that wealthy people have given things to ministers. Is it okay? I believe it is. Well, we know the story that Joseph stayed in Egypt and how he not only was a protector of his own family, the Israel clan, but he saved the whole then known world, didn't he? From the famine that was to come. I mean, this is a marvelous feat. This is one of the most fantastic, and that's not a good word because fantastic really comes from the wrong root. I don't want to use it. But one of the most, somebody help me with a superlative. That, you know, it's almost unbelievable how from one little man God was able to engineer this whole thing. I'm not sure which one of the old preachers said, I think it was D.L. Moody that said, the world is yet to see what God could do through a man that is totally surrendered to God. And I believe that. Totally surrendered. We got a glimpse of it for 3 years, didn't we? We saw what Yeshua did for 3 years on this earth. But the world is yet to see outside of that what God could do with a man that's totally surrendered in the here and now and that lived a life for 100 years. Wow. Wow. So, through his doing what he does, being faithful to God, not losing his dream, he is able to bring his whole family down and save them. He gets into Egypt. Mitzrayim, Egypt. Brings them down there, and he tells them what to say when they get there. He says, be sure you tell Pharaoh when you come down, Pharaoh's invited you to come and stay here with me now. And be sure you tell him that you're shepherds and cattlemen. Because there is a section of Egypt that is really lush and nice. And when you tell him this, and it was a fact, it wasn't a lie, he'll put you in Goshen. Not only did Joseph live in the nicest places in Egypt, so did his family. They had the finest land. I don't think we've ever really seen the story like it really happened. They lived in Pharaoh's wealthy place. How many of you believe you could have a wealthy place? Starts here. Starts on the inside. They lived in Pharaoh's wealthy place. But what happened? God had told Abraham in the 15th chapter of Genesis that the day is coming when your family is going to be persecuted and mistreated. They're going to live for 400 and some years in Egypt. And the Bible says that there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. Remember that? There arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. Joseph died during this time. Joseph made him promise to take his bones when they left. But when this happened, then things began to change, didn't it? And they began to be made slaves and servants again. It got so bad that because they were so prolific, the Israelis were prolific, that Pharaoh said, we're going to have to get rid of the kids. They're going to outnumber us soon. So he made a rule that all the babies had to be killed. Remember that? But Jochebed and Amram had a baby, and they said, you know what? We don't think we're going to do what Pharaoh says. And so they made a little boat, and they sealed it right. And you know, if you really think about it, what it looked like they were doing was throwing their kid in the river so the crocodiles could eat him. But they put him in there, but they left Miriam, to watch him. And Miriam watched him. And Pharaoh's daughter comes to with her entourage to bathe, and she sees the baby. And I've just got a feeling, you see if it kind of fits you, that when that baby, she heard him crying, but when they picked the baby up and he looked at her, I've got a feeling that he gave her a smile. What do you think? I think old Moshe had a grin on his face, and I mean, he captured her heart in a second. Miriam steps out and says, oh, hi, oh, a baby. Wow, would you like me to find a nurse for you? A nursing mother to take care of that baby? Princess said, good idea. It'll save on formula. Miriam goes and she brings her mama back, Jochebed. And she says, Princess, I'd like you to meet Jochebed. She is a nursing mother. Would you like her to take care? Oh, yes, that would be great, she said. Tell you what I'm going to do. You take care of the baby for me. Keep him in your house and take care of him. And I'll pay you wages for nursing your own child. Where did that money come from? Is that prosperity? And of course, you know, he grew up and became the greatest of the early figures and led the children of Israel out in a few years, didn't he? God judged all of their gods and brought the children of Israel out. And when he got ready to bring them out, he said, now wait a second, before you go, before we have our Seder tonight, I want you all to go to your neighbors, your Egyptian neighbors. And I want you to go to them and ask of them gold and silver and jewels. I want you to go and ask this of them. And what happened? They gave it to them. There's an old song we used to sing, and I was trying to think how it goes, and I can't find it anyplace, but he brought forth his people with joy. And then it talks about how he brought them forth with gold and silver and raiment. And he brought them out, and there was not one feeble person, the psalm says. Psalm 105:37 says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person. among their tribes. Where did that prosperity come from? Where did those riches come from? You're absolutely right. It all came from the Lord. But did it just come from the Lord? Did He have an agent? Did God have an agent that He used in the earth to provide wealth for Abraham? How many of you remember Abraham went into Egypt? Made a big mistake with Sarah there, didn't he? But Pharaoh sent him forth with all kinds of wealth. How many of you remember where Jacob's wealth came from? It wasn't cheating, it wasn't stealing. But it all came from Laban's flocks, didn't it? Joseph's wealth in Egypt came from Pharaoh's, in fact, the national treasures of Egypt provided for Joseph. Pharaoh's daughter provided wealth to Jochebed and Amram, didn't it? Where did the wealth come from? Deuteronomy 6:10. Let me read this to you. After the children of Israel get into the promised land. In fact, this is considered to be part of the Shema, up through verse 11. It says, "It shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not." Now, we already have established the fact that these guys were willing to work and they were hard workers. But Jeff brought it up this morning. Our wealth comes because God is God, doesn't it? The things come because God is God. It says, these are cities you didn't build, but I'm giving them to you. Verse 11, "And houses full of all good things which you filled not, and wells digged, which you digged not, and vineyards and olive trees, which you planted not." Whoa. Whoa. Whose were they? Well, the Canaanites had built them, the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Those people had built those cities, they dug those wells, but God gave them to His people. Now don't get to thinking, well, it's ours anyhow, we'll just go steal some. I know you wouldn't think that. Because God has a way of giving over things to His people. It says, "When you have eaten and be full." Verse 12 says, "Then beware lest thou forget Yahweh, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And in Deuteronomy 8:18 it says, "But thou shalt remember Yahweh thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power," say power, "power to get what?
Wealth.
Power to get wealth. Power to get wealth. That He may what? That He may what? Establish His covenant." There's something about this. In fact, we'll get into it next week more, but there's a covenant of prosperity. Biblical covenant of prosperity. Don't tell me you believe in Torah and don't believe in prosperity. You're not Torah observant at all if you don't believe in prosperity. I didn't say that you have to be already manifesting prosperity, but you best believe in it if you're a Torah observant believer. This ought to be putting some challenge on us. This ought to be putting some pressure on us. "That He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." It's a sign of a covenant. Look at Proverbs 13:18. We started this a couple, 3 weeks ago. I talked about this, but now we're going to finish it. Proverbs 13:18. It says this, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." Let's see, now what is that word for instruction, that other word?
I can translation.
Okay, go ahead.
Poverty and shame will come up to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored.
Okay, good. Good. Discipline. Where do we get our discipline? Where do we get our reproof? Where do we get our instruction? What's another word for instruction? Torah. Torah. What happens to people that refuse Torah? What do they get? Not just poverty.
Curses, shame.
Shame. He that regards him reproof. What is reproof?
Correction.
Correction. In other words, you've been given an instruction and now you need a correction, right? How many of you know we all need that? We get our instructions and then we get our corrections, right? Every airplane that flies gets corrections all the time. Did you know that? Get reproof. And you'll be honored. The 19th verse says, the desire accomplished is sweeter to the soul, is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. The 20th verse says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Have you ever noticed how cliques don't always work, usually don't work that way? People click up together a lot of times that aren't wise. Somebody that's poverty stricken, all their friends are poverty stricken. People that are sick, all their friends tell them how they're going to stay sick. You ever have a comforter that tells you when you tell them, boy, I've got this problem I'm fighting in my body, and they say, yeah, my uncle had that, he died. You ever have a good friend that do that to you? You know who I want to walk with? I want to walk with people that are succeeding. Not succeeding just that they have money, but succeeding in the Word of God. I want to walk with people that are sharing the Word, that are winning souls. Do you want to walk with them? I want to walk with people that know the Word of God and don't argue with it. I don't want to hear somebody say to me, well, you know, I know the Word has all these great promises, but this is the real world we live in and you just got to accept things the way they are. Uh-uh. No. I want to come above. I want to come up out of it. Don't you? Amen. I want to take heed who I walk with. How about you? I want to walk with somebody that's already successful. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, verse 21, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Verse 22 is really the verse I want you to see, the one we started on several weeks ago. A good man. Say a good man. A good man. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Michaela, you're my child. My grandchildren are my children's children. Isn't that right? I'm going to leave an inheritance to them. Did Abraham leave an inheritance to Isaac? Yes, that's his child. And Jacob, that's his grandchild. Am I going to leave an inheritance? Yes, to my children's children. Why? Because that's what God says a good man does. And the wealth, say the wealth. Wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, if you took the first part of that and then rewrote the last part of it just to say in exactly the same thought process, how would it read different? A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The wealth of the sinner, does he leave an inheritance to his children's children? Who does he leave an inheritance to? To the righteous, to the just. Is it wrong for us to think that way? You think God is concerned that we think that somehow through the pagan, unjust people that are controlling the wealth of this world, they're going to be separated from it, and it's going to be given to the just? Do you believe that that would displease God? No, I believe it's His will. If it's not His will, then He's going to have to rewrite this. Now, would I be wrong to make a doctrine out of this if that was the only Scripture? Probably. But is it the only Scripture? No. By the way, now let me ask you again, where did their wealth come from? It came from the unjust, didn't it? It came from the sinners. God used them as an agent in the world to provide. To provide for those who are righteous. A wicked man would say, that's not fair. Some Christians with a wicked mind might say, it's not fair. Not fair that God would take wealth from them and give it to someone else. How many of you know this? Let's see if this is a newsflash to any of you. God ain't no communist. I say God's not a communist. Well, at least He could take from the rich and give to the poor. Didn't say He'd do that. He said He'd take from the sinner and give to the righteous. Does He do it? What did Yeshua say about it? Luke 19:24, He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Remember that? You take from the guy that hid it in the earth. You take from him and give it to him that has 10 pounds. Does he need it? Well, it doesn't look like it to you, but God has plans for him. Does God have plans for you? Job 27:13 says, this is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. Now, by the way, when you read Job, I'm going to just help you out a little bit here. Every word in Job is in the Scripture, but it's not Scripture. Did you know that? It's not God's breathed word. How do we know that? Because there's different guys in there that are speaking all kinds of foolishness. I mean, is every word in Scripture to be followed?
Yes.
Every word? Judith went and hanged himself.
Oh, no.
Go thou and do likewise. You see, there are things. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die. No. That man was called a fool by God. No. So, sometimes when you're reading through Job, you have to look and see who's saying what. Because every word that's said there is not accurate. It's not God's will. And you know, that's just something to understand about the Word, because we do believe that all the Word is inspired and was given by God to be recorded, but we know that every word that's recorded in the Bible is not God's will. Right? That's where some people get in trouble with the will of God. They begin to think anything that happens to them is the will of God. Well, it isn't. The thief comes to steal and kill and to destroy. So Job's now given this story about the portion of a wicked man with God and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. And then he goes on down into verse 16 where he actually tells what happens. He says, though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as the clay. In other words, he could have all kinds of money. He could have so much in 50 different banks, and he's still having trouble staying under the FDIC regulation of 100,000, right? He can have money everywhere, and he's got it heaped up. This is a wicked man now. Though he have that, and he's got clothes, he's got all the finest suits, all the finest clothes, he's got closets full. He has all of that. The 17th verse says, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on. What's a just person? Just is righteous. When you see just, it's talking about a righteous person. A tzaddik, a man who's been made righteous. The just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. Does God want to take from the wicked and give to the just? That's what my Bible says. You study your Bible. Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail. To gather, to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. Did you know the scripture said these things? Did you know that wicked people are supposed to be given? And actually that happens oftentimes. We don't always see think of it just in that way, but it really is true. But if you're not believing the Word of God and believing this is for us today and believing that God, who never changes and blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, wants to bless you. He wants to make you great. He wants to put you into a position where you will wield tremendous power and influence in the earth for good. Do you suppose, listen to me now, do you suppose that if the righteous people of the earth controlled the money, that there would be a difference today in our politics? I'm asking a question. Would there be? Of course there would be. Who would be getting into office? You know, it's a sad situation, but people get into office because they have plenty of money. Don't they? Who would be ruling in this nation? The righteous. And when the righteous rule, what happens? The nation rejoices. Sin is a reproach to any land. Isn't that right? But righteousness exalts. I'm telling you, it's time for us to get a hold of this. This will be fought by even the church. The church fights prosperity. You want to know why? Because we came out of that Catholic church in Rome, and it was taken over by the wrong people. And they said, take a vow of poverty. Where do you find that in Scripture? Huh? You don't find it. God wants us to rule and reign with Him. It's interesting, that church wants people to take a vow of poverty, and yet they have wealth stored up like you wouldn't believe. If you knew the truth about it, you wouldn't believe all the wealth that's stored up. Power to get wealth comes from God. Did you read that with me today in Deuteronomy 8:18? Stand with me. I want you to say this with me. Say, power to get wealth comes to me from Yahweh. Because of His covenant. I open my heart to the Word of God. My mind is renewed by His engrafted Word. I submit my thinking to Yahweh, that my thoughts may become as His. And as I think in my heart, so am I. I think I prosper in Him, and my external being has to follow. Do you agree with that? Did I say anything that's not right? That's exactly what the Word of God is telling us. It's time for people that believe and people that trust God to rise up and rule and reign with Him. Amen. I believe it. I believe it's time for us to take the Word of God. You say, what's this all for? Well, Joseph had nice things, but was that his reason for being? No, his reason for being was salvation. Did you realize he was the great Savior? At that time, he was a great type of Yeshua. So it is with us. I believe God wants us to get along in this world well. So that when somebody says, it's time to do this, we won't have to say, well, wait a second, I got to check. Like, who was it that said that, Philip? How much bread do I have? How much money do I have in the account to buy bread? We just do it. Because there's needed. I believe it's time. I believe it's time. Father, we bless You today. We bless You today. We don't want to be rich or wealthy in any way except the scriptural way. To be prosperous in You. You who supply all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You who told us that if we whatever we desire when we pray to believe that we receive it and we shall have it. You who made a covenant with us. A covenant of prosperity. Lord, today we just open ourselves to receive as you have ordained the wealth of the wicked for the kingdom of God. We believe for it and we trust you for it. And Lord, where there's confusion in our mind, we set ourselves in agreement right now that we're going to search this out and meditate it until it becomes revelation knowledge in us. And we thank you for it in the name of Yeshua. Lift your hands to heaven. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen.